97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wake up to a cloudy day. Darkness in and
hello
starts to rain.
And welcome back to another edition of Second Amendment Radio on 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo here with Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Great
in
to see
studio.
You. In studio.
How are you?
Yes, great to see you.
You too.
Chad Ellis, our producer here as
hello,
well.
Hello.
And joining us for this entire show today is Mike Marfell, who every time Mike is on the radio with me, I introduce him as a professional fisherman, and then he corrects me and says, I'm not a professional fisherman. So I'll let Mike explain who he is, because I think you're a professional fisherman.
Well, I'm closer because they wouldn't let me fish the big bass bash this year because I made too much money last year.
See, but there you go.
I got
you're
a regular
making a bunch
job,
of money. If
and there's
making
guys that are way better than me, but yes. Yes, I'm getting closer.
It's no, my retire. No bass.
My plan to be
bash?
A retirement fish. Big bass bash.
Why not? Well, they wouldn't because you.
Like they tried to keep it amateur, and I made too much money last year.
Oh, so that would mean if you're not an amateur, you're a pro.
Hey, that's what I would say too, Aaron.
So you made
that's
over.
But
exactly
if I was a pro, I wouldn't be working 14 hours a day at my regular job.
Hey, listen. So. You know. Yeah. Talking to the guy that has infinite amount of jobs.
Yeah,
here,
yeah.
So,
well, know. We just talked about it. Got to get your hustle on, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. I was like, you know. Anyway,
so this whole thing's leading down a road of me quitting that 14-hour-a-day stuff when
and
the kids
fishing.
Are out and fishing.
Yeah.
I'm going to become a guide, fish tournaments. That'll be my hustle.
I love it. Explain to somebody how you make money fishing if you're not on the big, you know, Bassmasters tournament and all that sort of stuff. I think that people think, like, you're either all the way or you're nothing, but there's
in between. Yeah,
there's a guy that's got one foot
in. It's very difficult to make money without sponsors, which I have very few. It's all monetary, like baits,
yeah,
help with the boat,
right,
maintenance, that sort of thing. So you got to be good,
right?
You got to cash checks. That's the bottom line,
right?
And you got to keep your costs down. I sleep in the truck. I won a boat. Before that, I ran an old boat.
Right.
You see a guy in a brand new truck with a brand new boat, and he tells you he doesn't have sponsors. He's not making any money. He's getting away from his wife.
Right.
Even if he's cashing checks, you're running a $70,000 boat and a $70,000 truck. You got to cash a lot of checks before you even break even.
Well, you have one of the my favorite fishing stories I've ever heard. When you won the boat that you're talking about, that you said you won a boat, and before that you were fishing with an old boat, and how when you said that when you won that tournament. You can remind me what the name of that tournament
Web
was.
Web Outdoors Championship, which we will be fishing coming this weekend.
Nice.
This year's championship, going for back-to-back.
There you go. And you said that I was the only person fishing in that tournament that I was going to actually keep the boat.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
And you have kept the boat?
I have kept the boat and threw about another 20 G's on top of that.
What happened to the old boat?
Sold it in a heartbeat.
Oh. You didn't even offer to me.
No, I didn't.
Hopefully my wife's not listening because she's like, no boats.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got a strict no boat rule.
That's did you no leave good. All your did you leave all your pins in the GPS
nope.
on that old boat too?
I did not. I did not.
That's didn't fine. The guy ask you to?
He asked me to, and I said I like you a lot, but that's not happening.
That's
worked
a secret,
long time.
Right? Yeah, you work. That's exactly right. You worked a long time to find those spots.
Yes,
that's,
yes.
That's you know real
what?
Work.
It is real work. But the funny thing about that is, I've tried. There's certain pros that get away from that. They'll delete them every year. So you don't fish history.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's
really?
Interesting.
That's
yeah.
dumb.
I haven't brought myself to that. Well, it's not dumb because a lot of times it bites you, fishing history.
Get
I've caught them here good before. Well, they're not here, dude.
Right, you get too comfortable.
Use your electronics, find them, make sure they're there.
That's interesting.
You know, I still want to know on a lake that I could do that at Lake of the Ozarks.
Right.
I could get rid of them because I know those spots.
Right.
But on a lake that I don't go to, like our tournament coming up, this championships at Stockton, I haven't been there all year.
Mm-hmm.
I only get there when I have a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So I need them.
Yeah.
I mean, I need them to go check. I'm not going to just start fishing. I'll idle back and forth and use my electronics.
Right.
There's a reason I got four big hummingbird units on
right,
my boat.
Right.
It's to look and see if there's fish there before I start casting.
Right.
You know, so... A lot of people buy all that stuff and then don't understand how to use it.
So I want to talk fishing, and we're going to talk fishing in this episode, and that's why we have Mike here with us. But before we dive into all that stuff, it's important to remember that it's Glocktober.
It is.
And what's
it
happening
is. It is Glocktober.
What's happening at Southern Armory?
I tell you what, man, you know, we've been getting a ton of people going, hey, it's Glocktober, right? And it's like, yeah. I mean, last night at 1:30 in the morning, right, some guy sends me a message on our Facebook, Southern Army Facebook, and says, hey, you guys got Glocktober going on? Oh, yeah, I got Glocktober going on. He's like, oh, you're up? I'm like, Yeah, man, I'm up. He's like, you guys a Blue Label dealer? I'm like, we are also a Blue Label dealer. He's like, cool.
What do I need? Are you open?
Right, yeah.
Like, where else do you get that kind of customer service?
Yeah,
right?
I know. He goes, he says to me, he goes, can I get pricing? I said, send me a picture of your credential. So he sends a picture. You know, this is like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning at this point. We've been texting back and forth. And I go, tomorrow, when we open, I will send you the list. And he's like, oh, tomorrow? And I'm like, well, I guess it's technically later today in about 8 hours. You know? Like, right, come on, man. Right. Like, I'm getting ready to go to bed. My wife's already asleep. Piper's in bed. So, yeah, Glocktober's going on. People love Glocktober. It was insane. We had people coming in like the week before and going, hey, is it gonna happen? We're like, yeah, it's going to happen.
It's always going
to
happen.
Yeah, it's a great promo. We love doing it. Glock Certified Armor, I love going to that class. It's an awesome class, breaking it down. We install a lot of sights, a lot of triggers, and a lot of other accessories, barrels,
so
and stuff
like that.
So I
can come over there and get my son's Glock all
you can,
tuned
all,
in?
All tricked out, yeah, absolutely.
Ah, it's his birthday coming up. We might have to do that for October. No.
Hey, October's the month to do it.
Yeah. So, porting barrels over there?
We can get you a ported barrel, but you know, a factory barrel, I would just upgrade. By the time you actually done and everything, you can just buy a ported barrel right from
somebody's
the factory.
Somebody's already figured out the best way to...
Yeah. Right, and then you're upgrading. That's what like a lot of guys go, you know, like, oh, I'm going to buy the Glock 17 barrel and do this, this, and this, and put it in my 19. And it's like, them lugs don't match, but I mean, you know, whatever. And they want to thread it, and I'm like, just buy a threaded
Well, then you have a
barrel. Right. You have a barrel to change out, you know, and that polygonal rifling it adds a little velocity, and it's just, you know, that Glock barrel serves a purpose, but then getting your threaded stainless steel match grade barrel, that serves a purpose too, especially if you're going to go down the suppressor route. Suppressors are surprisingly flowing. We got another tech stamp back. I was like, wow.
What was the time?
Like 10 weeks again.
That's incredible.
11 weeks. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on? With that being said, come in and get a suppressor because you're not going to wait that long, apparently. And I would jump on the bandwagon now, so that way, in case something ridiculous happens, because it is election season. And
right.
Well, that's why they're selling, right?
Right. I don't know about selling, but I always notice during election season the shootings go up. I don't know why.
Huh?
Have you noticed that?
I have not.
It was the first year or two of Trump was pretty quiet, and now we get into kind of the election season, re-election, 2020 is on the horizon, and we've seen an upswing in shooting.
Huh. I don't know. Upswing in shooting or an upswing in reporting.
Right, because they could still be there, but they're just trying to...
That used to be a thing, but I think they report everything now. They're so eager to jump on it.
When I did the communications, like 200 level class in college, they said, if it bleeds, it leads, and... Yep. They weren't lying.
Yeah,
you know, and Chad just came out of school at UMSL, right, Chad?
Yeah.
And is that they
that's
still?
Definitely.
Yeah. Did you get that in like comms 202 or 201 or something?
In the first class,
like
I
the 100 level.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they mentioned it in that too, but definitely in the 200 level. And it's funny because like in the 200 level, I was on the college radio station playing jams. It was a good time. So. WDNR. You can look that up. It's out on the East Coast. So, but Glocktober's going on, so come in, get a Glock. We got awesome promotions coming up for November. We're almost through October, so strangely, we're like halfway through.
Yeah.
So, stay tuned to the November promotions. We've got some good ones coming up in the beginning half of the month and some great ones, even better, coming up the latter half for Black Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and then Cyber Monday, which we're closed on Monday, so the Cyber Monday deal works out really well for us.
Yeah.
And then December, man, we're like right around the corner from Christmas. We're right around the corner from deer season, and I mean, turkey's going on right now. It's there's a lot.
Ducks
are dying. Yeah, hard. They are, which is great. So, there's just a ton going on.
Right.
So you need to come in. If you don't follow us on the socials, that's Southern Armory or Second Amendment Radio, and we just got a Twitter account, so we can tweet now. It's at Radio Second, or I guess you could type in Second Amendment Radio and it'll pop up, but at Radio Second, I'm not sure how they came up with that, but that's for the Twitter people, right? Can I change that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
A lot of
I've avoided the Twitter successfully.
You know, so yeah, you avoided Twitter. I just follow it for
Trump.
I need
to keep this job, so I'm going to keep my mouth.
That's funny. Yeah. So I just figured get it on all the platforms, and then we'll just kind of go
from
there.
That's a great point. If you can't keep your mouth shut, then it's best to just stay away.
Well, you can just tweet between 8 and 5. How about that? No late night tweets. That tends to get everybody in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
From presidents to local talk show hosts.
Yeah. To Roseanne, yeah.
To Roseanne, yes. So don't tweet and do Ambien, apparently. Like that's what she said she was on. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, so come in, talk to us about Glocktober. Go to southernarmory.com, sign up for our newsletter. You need to get on that because that's kind of one of the keys. You know, you're going to get an alert. You know, it's going to go out like the first of the month. And then follow us on the socials because that's, you know, doing the live streams and other things. Interesting little happening. If you follow us on Facebook, you already know about this. We sell the Thank You Police Officer John Q signs. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you've probably seen them around town, etc. We had a customer bring his in. It had been ripped out of the ground, broken, and thrown in the street and run over.
Wow.
I know. So
wow.
We were like, wow. So
I wish that didn't surprise me, but unfortunately...
It doesn't. Not in today's age. So anyway, with all that being said, got him a new sign and took a picture and put it on Facebook. So if you want a sign, come in. We've got them. But at the same time, if you know anything about that sign getting broken, we would sure like to know so we can pass that info on. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's like a $10 sign, but it's still... You know,
it's the message.
Well, yeah, and it's destruction of property, and,
right?
You know, it's a sad state of affairs. So
yeah, that's pretty frustrating. Man.
Yeah, it is. You know, because that's the individual that's going to call 911 when somebody's breaking in their house,
right?
So
yeah,
and then they might use a scary black rifle to protect themselves, which consequently they would also be probably morally against. But hey. I'm not here to analyze people. I'm here to talk about proposed gun laws. Oh, yeah. It'd be a five-hour show. Make a whole big DGS.
Yeah.
Or Annie Fry. So,
we've always said we need more time.
Yeah, we always have. Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll come true one day. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you can come into Southern Armory and see me, see Jess, see our newest sales associate, Piper.
Yeah.
I seen Piper when I was in
there. Yeah, she's awesome, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
She pushes that jerky.
Throwing down those chicken nuggets.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She likes chicken. She likes to, I was there yesterday and she was trying to sell some guy ammo. And he's like, I don't need this caliber, but you're so cute. And I'm like, buy it. I'll sell you the gun.
Yeah.
You know? So he ended up, getting like 380 or 9mm or something.
That's awesome.
She gave him a bag of that. So, she's a little personal shopper for you. She'll give you a little basket when you come in. She's awesome, man. She's so much fun.
That's great.
She is just a trip.
And the dog was on scene when I was there.
Yeah, Anch. Anch is a lot of fun. She's blowing a coat right now, so it's...
Shepherd's blowing coats.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's winter time.
Going on in there.
She's not normally bad. It's twice a year. So my wife's like, I've been vacuuming nonstop. Like, I don't have to tell you. So I'm sure my wife's vacuuming right now as we speak. So and then I'll get there and she'll be like, take your dog home and brush her or something.
That's
I tried to do it last night at like 1 in the morning, but some dude was texting me about Glocktober. Got to take your priorities. So come in, see us. We're 1 mile east of 270 and 44, 9901 Watson Road, southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
Heck,
follow us on the streams because that's
sure.
Where it's at. We got,
Southern Armory on Facebook, Second Amendment Radio on Facebook.
And Twitter.
Yeah. Go and check
Radio
it out.
Radio Second.
So I know we're a little bit early, but that's okay. Let's take a quick break right now so we can get into some discussions with Mike Marfell, who is a professional fisherman, whether he wants to admit to it or not. So we're going to talk some fishing.
Made too much for the amateur tournaments.
Yeah, made too much money to fish in the amateur tournaments. He's a pro.
I'll take it, man.
There you go. So Mike is here.
Hard to stay humble with you, Tony.
We'll talk some fishing. We'll talk some guns. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio on 97.1 FM Talk. I love to find myself. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo, Aaron Tarlow, Chad Ellison Studio. And joining us this week is our buddy Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman. Mike, before we get into the fishing stuff, we were just talking off the air about a really cool event coming up.
Yeah, man.
Tell us about it.
My buddy's band, the Tungsten Groove, one of the hardest working bands in the area, is going to be playing with Allman and Betts. If you don't know who that is, that's Greg Allman's kid and Dickie Betts' kid from the Allman Brothers, and the Jeremiah Johnson Band at the Pageant this coming Thursday, October 17th. Just bring some food. Nice. It's a food drive. So,
very cool. That's this Thursday.
Three
at the pageant.
Awesome bands.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I saw Jeremiah Johnson in concert at a venue down here in downtown St. Louis. And awesome show.
Yeah.
Awesome show.
Well, if you're into the guitar, this is the show for you.
Okay.
All three of those bands have killer guitar players. The Tungsten Groove, Shannon Meyer, for your 1,000-mile radius, there's nobody better.
Yeah. Okay.
The nice. Most feel, I mean, just out of sight. And of course, Dickie Betts' kid is out of sight, and the Jeremiah Johnson
right,
has
yeah.
a couple good guitar players.
So right. What was cool is Jeremiah Johnson Band has the semi and trailer from Smoking the Bandit.
Are you kidding me?
I'm dead serious. I got a picture of it. I was standing next to it.
And you know, I was rolling through Washington, Missouri, going to Lake of the Ozarks this weekend, and Union. No, Washington.
Yeah.
Which
well,
one?
Washington. They're one exit separate.
Yeah. And they were on the marquee for a little bar there in the corner. I thought, wow, that's pretty crazy.
That is
so,
awesome.
Yeah, it was cool because I walk up and I'm like, I'm with one of my buddies and I'm like, hey, man, take a picture of me. And he's like clueless. He has no idea what's going on.
So he's got all the horses on the side.
Yeah, he got the horses with the hold up and the little rabbit freaking
the
out. It's awesome, you know? And so the guy that's driving the truck is like getting out as I'm getting my picture taken. And I'm like, hey, man, this is awesome. And he's like, what?
Did they buy it from the movie, or did they do one up?
No, they did one up like it, yeah. And so, I think it's like still a Kenworth or Peterbilt or something. And it's just like a modern modern version of it. It was so cool. So I was like, yeah, this is awesome. I was telling him, I was like, back in the day, my dad and mom had a black Trans Am with the Firebird on
nice.
It.
This is how redneck I am. When I was growing up, there was four of them in the driveway
was
giving
that's
Thanksgiving.
Awesome. we even had the T-tops that came out. And I go, I remember being like itty bitty rolling around.
Brown. We had
That's baller.
That's
so
awesome.
He was like, hey man, I'm glad you get it. That's awesome. He's like, nobody really understands it, you know, especially the younger generation. I'm like, dude, I grew up watching that. They took the video cassette away from me because I could say all the curse words.
My second car was, you know? It wasn't one of those four. When I was in college, I bought a white 79 Trans Am.
Nice.
Yeah.
And to get to go to that show just by donating some food, what a great way to be introduced
to
some of that.
You're probably
says a
30,
lot about the people putting it on.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah,
you're probably $30 tickets or $40 tickets every bit.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
plus
awesome.
A service
awesome
fee,
bands.
You know.
Yeah. Right. Three awesome bands for just bringing some food, helping people out.
So what I would do is if I was you, I would go hit the dollar section and buy like, you know, 40
10
or 50
10, right,
cans.
Tony?
10 for 10.
Yeah.
Load up on a whole bunch of canned goods and just
you
walk
probably got
on
a
in.
Closet full of stuff you could go to the, take everybody
Amen.
With you.
Hey. That's exactly right.
Costco, baby.
So, Mike, it's the time of year where the weather is starting to change. It's all of a sudden
it got really
cold. Yeah, well, so that's very interesting because you said you have your big tournament coming up. One of them that you fish in every year, one of the biggest tournaments that you fish in every year. And I think a lot of people that are not professionals and not regulars think that once the summertime is over and it starts to get cold, that's it. There's not any more
fish to be caught.
Wrong.
Couldn't be more wrong.
Explain that. Explain like why the fall and why
actually
right now.
It's about to get cold and they know it.
Uh-huh.
So they need to feed up and they're going to the bait and the shad are going to move shallow and they're going to chase them back into the shallows and just feed until the weather, the water probably gets 50 degrees.
Right.
And they're still going to eat, but they're going to eat like crazy till then.
So is there, what's the biggest difference between summer fishing and fall fishing as far as?
Summer fishing, you're going to have to fish a little deeper.
Yeah.
And generally main lake points, secondary points.
Mm-hmm.
In the fall, they're gonna follow that bait to the back. That bait's gonna move back as the water cools back to where the water's warmer,
mm-hmm.
and the bass are gonna follow them. Of course, they're gonna move up in the water column because that as the water cools, they're cold blooded, so they want to stay in the warm water. They're gonna move up and follow that shad. They're gonna be higher in the water column.
Right.
You don't have to fish on the bottom anymore. Plus, the water's still warm enough. They're willing to chase, so moving baits work great. You don't have to be dragging stuff on the bottom or drop shotting or
top water.
Oh, top water,
right.
Lipless crankbaits, spinnerbaits. I'm still a jig guy. I'm just going to swim my jig just under the water.
Right.
But, just to be a little different. But, it's about to be game on. And like Aaron was saying the way in, I didn't realize you didn't. You know, there's not a lot of tournaments that I fished that go on in the summertime. There still is tournaments, but
mm-hmm.
we don't want to kill fish when the water's hot. You don't want to drag them around. A lot of boat traffic. But from this weekend, It's been a weird I mean, the weather's been crazy. It's been 90 degrees.
Right.
But we're supposed to be like highs in the 50s this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, it won't take them long to react. I was just at Lake of the Ozarks fun fishing with my son, and the shad are moving up, but the bass aren't there yet. Caught a lot of little ones, 15 right. inches and stuff.
Right.
But when this weather snaps 20 degrees, the big girls are going to come in mm-hmm. too.
Do you still have fun? You just called it fun fishing, which I understand is just when you're out there, you know, fishing.
I'm making sure he catches more than me.
Right. Yeah. But do you still have fun when you fun fish? Like, or is
oh,
it,
yeah.
is it become
well, if
such
I'm with
a job?
My son,
yeah.
I try to, or if I went with you or Aaron or right. anybody, I'm going to put you in the best position. I've caught my share of fish.
Right.
I'm going to put somebody else to get hooked on it. And my 20-year-old's ate up with it.
Yeah.
And,
dude.
He's walking the bank at a subdivision pond with like $3,000 worth of rods and reels that dad's hooked him up with.
That's
so, you know.
That's awesome.
And every month, he lives with his mom.
You know
and,
what? You and, find the right subdivision pond, oh, you can actually oh, yeah. have a lot of fun.
He didn't know it was in there. I went over there with a whopper plopper and caught a 7 and a 6-pounder
oh,
in the
nice.
Same night. And he was like, oh, my God, whopper I didn't even know plopper. Those lived here.
Love it.
So, yeah, it's funny watching him walk the banks. And then every month, he gets a package from me. I buy a bunch of tackle from Tackle Warehouse, have it shipped to his house, you yeah. know, try to get him. And then he sent me a picture, and it's all on the floor of his bedroom. He's like, Dad, you wouldn't happen to have, like, extra tackle boxes or something, because I've been sending him so much tackle I didn't think, you know. You so know, yeah, it's like, well, bring it all it over and I'll hook you up.
You just said something about putting people in the right, you like to take people out, put them in the right place so they have a successful day and then they get hooked as well. And there is so much truth to that, because I loved fishing when I was a kid, and then when I got out of high school and went to college briefly, got into radio, I was doing other things, and I didn't fish for years, probably, you know, 10 years or so. And then about 10 or 15 years ago, a buddy of mine got some farm property, and it had a pond on it that was unfished for who knows how long, and we started fishing in that pond, and I immediately, because it was, you know, it was this amazing farm pond that nobody had fished
in,
and so
these
giant bass are in there, and yeah, you were catching just constantly, and all of a sudden, you're just, like, a light went on, and I, since then, as you know, it's been my number one hobby that I can't get enough of,
right.
but it's because I had that experience of going to that farm pond to catch. If I would have not fished for 10 years and went out a couple of times
in the middle of summer,
and spent 5 or 6 hours on a lake and didn't catch anything, and then maybe gave it one more shot and that happened again, I probably wouldn't have gone back
right,
to it.
Right.
So it's so important, not, you know, especially for kids.
Yeah.
Like to go out, make
and adults.
Make sure there is, you know, you get them as successful as possible, and
yep.
because that's the knock against fishing is that, you know,
slow.
That, yeah, that you could it can be yeah. a whole day and you don't catch anything.
That's mm-hmm. the beauty of bass fishing is you're constantly fishing. You're
right.
not just drowning a worm.
Right.
Yeah. You're making and at Lake of the Ozarks. If you like to be if you're remotely athletic, learning how to skip jigs back under places and
right.
stuff, it's fun.
Yeah,
my ADD, I can flip docks and skip docks all day long. It's
right.
like, oh, I bet I can hit that little hole.
So for you, how much do you feel like luck is involved in fishing when you go out?
Avoiding bad luck.
Yeah.
Making sure your boat don't break down to get back.
Good
don't
deal.
Get your
that's bad luck for sure.
Pay attention to what you're, I mean, the luck of, oh, I threw over that cable and I nicked my line, but then I didn't retie. Well, then I broke off. Well, that's your fault.
Right.
That ain't luck.
Right.
That's you not taking the time.
But finding the fish?
Finding the fish is not luck at all.
That's not luck at all.
It can be. You can luck into fish.
Sure, sure. But for you, finding the fish and or getting to a spot and fishing for 2 hours and there's nothing there.
If you don't get bit in an hour, it's time to, or else you're seeing them on your electronics.
You heard this right. man say he's got 4 hummingbirds on his
yeah,
boat.
Yeah, it's time right. to move on.
Right.
I'm also in engineering, so that's overlapping redundancies
right.
in case one goes down. I'm always good. But
right.
yeah, but finding them is, you can, I'm not saying you can't luck into them.
Sure you can. Of course you can.
You absolutely can.
Yeah.
can. You right. can pull up on a point, not know diddly poo about fishing and start whacking them.
Yep.
Right. So you.
Sure.
But the reason I pulled up on that point, because the wind was blowing in it. I seen a herring on the bank.
Right.
There's a channel that cuts up next to it.
Yeah.
I so scanned over it, seen a brush pile. I was like, yeah, conditions are right. Let's try this.
Right.
Yeah. So you said like secondary points and main points, and that may be a term that listeners aren't really familiar
with. Well, a main lake point would be a point on the main, on the Osage, on the main lake. Right. A secondary point would be another little niche in the
inside of a cove.
Mm-hmm. And I say it doesn't have to be the second point. It can be the third one or the fourth one, but they're just secondary. They're not the main.
Right, yeah, they're not the main deals.
And there's always every, Lake of the Ozarks is a prime example, that lake, every arm is a drainage to the Osage River.
Right.
So it's its own creek,
right,
essentially. And at some point, that creek will bump up against the bank or a point, and that's always a place you want to be.
Okay.
So if somebody wants to get into it right now, they feel like they want, they're listening to this and they're like, man, that sounds like a lot of fun, but I don't have four hummingbirds and I don't have electronics. I don't even have a boat. So and if I did, I wouldn't know how to read the electronics anyway. So I don't know what I'm looking at or where to go. What's a good starting point for people?
One starting point is to join a bass club.
Yeah.
As a co-angler. Mm-hmm. And you'll get to go fish tournaments out of the back of people's boats and learn.
You can also go pro and an amateur essentially, right?
Yeah, and it's just low entry fee stuff. Plus, you have monthly meetings and guys talk fishing. And you can pick guys' brains.
Mm-hmm.
The other step is to go fish pro-am tournaments. Mm-hmm. Cost you a little more money, but the level of guy fishing is going to be a little higher too.
And guides, right? Places like the Lake of the Ozarks.
Lake of the Ozarks has guides. Table Rock has great guides. Eric Prey, Mike Webb. There's just a big list of guys down there at Table Rock.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Elite Series pros and the high level pros in the off season guide at their local lake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a great way to, you know, to learn.
You know what? Watching TV.
Bass University Television.
That's funny.
Mike Iaconelli has a thing, and it's all the seminars. I pay $9.99 a month to be a member, and I still watch them. I took my son to the Bass University last year in Kokomo, Indiana, and it was funny
That's not that far, by the way.
No, they're all over. They has them all over the country.
You could be there in like 4 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was funny because we were there to learn bass fishing. And Cliff Crochet, who's the Cajun baby, he's from down the Delta, basically, mm-hmm. Appalachia Basin. And he got wind that I coached football, and everybody's wanting to ask Cliff fishing questions between seminars. And he's back there teaching my son proper tackling techniques because his passion is football. He's a high school football coach before he became a professional fisherman. He's back there. And then my son walked away and he's like, I didn't understand a word he said. I was like, well, Cajun's kind of like Bob Dylan. It's an acquired. You listen enough, you'll get it.
It's an acquired dialect.
You got to listen close enough.
Right.
That's all right.
Right.
That's absolutely right.
And they start speaking French.
But you're hiring a guide, man. You can't go wrong. And you'll have the time of your life. Yep. You really will. And that, like I said, that's what I want to do when I get the kids out of school and everything.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting and important for people to know, though, about this time of year. Because really, a lot of people think that when it starts to get cold, that the fishing is over with.
No,
when
the fishing's about to get good.
Yeah, and so how long does it stay good?
Until it gets hard.
Yeah.
Until it gets hard.
Till the ice.
Yeah.
Right. Till
the Ozarks, my favorite time is when the water's 55 degrees, 50 degrees, throwing that jerkbait.
Right.
There's no better. If you've never had a jerkbait bite, if you're just getting into fishing, it's the coolest.
Is this the best time of year to fish, or is the springtime the best time to fish?
I think the fall is the best time. Springtime's the best time to catch a big one because they're full of eggs.
Yeah.
And they're kind of dumb because they're horny.
We can all relate to that.
Because I still swear that there's bass at Lake of the Ozarks that never come out from their haunts on those big commercial docks except for when it's time to make sweet, sweet.
Yeah, in the spring.
In the spring.
And that's all in the springtime.
And they just don't.
Right.
There's no reason for them to come out.
Right.
So that's your best shot at catching a big fish.
Yeah.
Catching lots of big fish that are aggressive is fall, in my opinion.
Yeah. That would make sense because they're trying to fatten up. And then you know, what people, I guess, don't get is they're going to go deep once the lake starts to ice over and the water gets cold because all that hot water, warm water, right, it's still cool.
Yeah.
It's going to go to the bottom.
It's going
to
be a little, but that being said, when there's no ice on there, those fish will set in that deep water, close to shallow water, and when that sun shines on those rocks at Lake of the Ozarks, Table Rock,
they're going to go.
They're going
to
slip up there super shallow and feed.
Yeah,
4 or 5 feet of water
in the wintertime.
Yeah,
but that jerkbait bite thing is, you know, if you don't know anything about a jerkbait, it's a suspending minnow,
mm-hmm.
and you'll crank that dude down, say 3 or 4 feet, about as deep as it'll go. There's all different ones. There's ones that'll go deeper, but in general,
yeah,
and you twitch, pause, and it's just sitting there. And sometimes, you know, you count to five, twitch it a couple more times, because you got to give them time to slowly move up and tack.
Yeah.
But when they decide to get it, you're just sitting there, and all of a sudden, boom, that pulls the rod out of your hand, and really cool.
Sounds like deep sea fishing.
It's a lot like, I've never done that, but I've heard. Yeah,
deep sea fishing's a blast.
Yeah.
So. And the thing in wintertime, too, is when they group up.
I've only deep sea fished on the Great Lakes. I haven't done it in the ocean.
Okay.
But same thing.
Same thing.
You know, I know a guy that's got a place in Okaloosa Island.
Yeah.
Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, it's you.
And you've got a plane.
Hey. Well, yeah, we got that, too.
All right, we got to take a break, but we've got more to go. Don't go anywhere. Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman, is joining us for Second Amendment Radio on 97.1 FM Talk. Back in a second. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio on 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo, Aaron Tarlow, Chad Ellis, joined this week by professional fisherman Mike Marfell.
Hello.
And I love talking fishing. So
just pull my string, Tony.
Keep it going here a little bit. I do have a couple questions, gun-related questions that people have submitted for Aaron that I want to get to here in a minute. But I want to wrap up this discussion about this time of year and fishing in the fall. We mentioned in the last segment that a lot of people that don't fish regularly, especially like you do, Mike, that think that this time of year is that they've missed their chance, that the summertime is over and it's cold outside now.
Couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah. And even once the fall is over, the other point I wanted to make about this time of year also is that, like you're saying, not only is it a great time to fish, but there's also, especially in places like Lake of the Ozarks, Table Rock Lake, places like that, there's a lot less boats on the lake.
That's what him and I were talking about. It's like Table Rock's where it's at.
Table
Rock's my favorite lake.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. And I've told you this before, the best time to fish at any lake in the Ozarks is during deer season.
Yeah.
Because all those guys that are really good fishermen are deer hunting. And I don't deer hunt, so I got the lake to myself.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, no, that's such a great point. What is the best time of the day right now? Is it early in the
morning?
Still
early. Right now, the water at Lake of the Ozarks was still 78 degrees, so early still better.
Yeah.
But as you get, the water starts cooling, it's going to be later in the afternoon.
Right. Gotcha. You know?
That's why I'm lazy. That's why I also like fishing this time. I can sleep in and fish later.
Yeah.
I always say I wished our tournaments, and some of them do, we have winter tournaments, they start a little later and go a little later.
I've always had the best luck, and maybe it's just me and it's just dumb luck, but tell me if there's any truth to this. For me, it's always early in the morning, like early in the morning, just after first light, and then maybe that hour before
absolutely
the sun sets.
Absolutely. In the summertime and in the warm weather, that's absolutely the truth.
Yeah.
Trout's like that. Get to be in the hour and a half, and then spend the day doing whatever.
It's crazy. This year, so far, for me at least, has been one of the best years of the Lake of the Ozarks, and I don't know if it's just because I'm getting better and I'm figuring more things out.
Possible, but that lake is just on fire.
I mean, it was an unbelievable year, and I probably caught more fish this year than I have in who knows how. Maybe it might have been the most fish I ever caught at the Lake of the Ozarks this year. But I guarantee you it was one of the years that I spent the least amount of time fishing. This year was full of, going down to the lake with the family for the weekend and only getting, a couple hours, like, hey, I'm going to run down to the boat and I'm going to fish for a couple hours. Not getting a chance to spend the whole day on the water, but still in those 2 hours, 3 hours, having tons of success. It was like that all year long for me.
Yeah.
I
just think if you were doing, you did most of your fishing at Lake of the Ozarks, the lake's just, lake cycle, and that thing is just getting better and better. Maybe at some point it falls off, but our tournaments, the amount of limits that are weighed in and 20-pound bags are weighed in is just crazy.
Are there any other lakes more locally, like for people that don't want to drive down to the Lake of the Ozarks or drive down to Table Rock Lake that are here in St. Louis? Do you have any spots that you really like? Or
I honestly don't. I mean, I honestly don't because I'm kind of American. My wife always says that nobody ever wants to fish with me because I don't want to stop. So if I've got the time and I'm going to put forth the effort, I'm going to Lake of the Ozarks.
You want to go to a big lake.
I want to go to a big lake because I want to challenge myself. And I have tournaments there, so I want to go fish a part of the lake I've never been in.
Right.
But there's strip mine lakes over in Illinois that are out of Pyramid State Park.
Yeah.
That you don't have to have a big boat. You can fish out of a kayak.
Well, there's Carlisle Lake and there's Coffeen.
Carlisle Lake is kind of a gar hole. But yeah, right. I mean, but the Pyramid it State Park area, there's, I don't know how many lakes there are, 35, 40 lakes.
Yep.
Old strip mines, some are deep and clear, some got vegetation. In fact, my friend Gabe Montgomery has the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel, and he just recently went and did a video from, you know, blindly never been there.
Mm-hmm.
And he fishes out of a little John boat with an I-9 on it so he can get in these little lakes. And he had some great success over those, and he said he wants to go back because there's so many more lakes to fish.
Right.
So if you don't have a big bass boat, you can fish off from the bank, you can fish out of a kayak, a John boat, you know.
And if you can find, if you seriously, we mentioned earlier those subdivision ponds or farm ponds.
There's one I won't mention over in Edwardsville that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, he took a former Elite Series pro there. And they had to kind of sneak in and use somebody else's. His sister's lives in the subdivision.
Right.
And the Elite Series guy was blown away by the amount of bass they caught in the wintertime on a jerkbait out of
place. I'm lucky enough to know a couple farmers and you know, can put my little John boat on a couple farm ponds. And oh my God.
And just go knock on the door, man. A lot of people, if it's a farm pond, a lot of people would be willing and say, hey, I'm going to catch and release, and or else you want them. You need to take some out and, you know. If you come back with a bag full of trash in your pocket to show you picked up as you walked around there, a lot of times they'll let you come back for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I do that at the lake. I think I told you that. I'll go out of my way to pick up a bottle or something floating or, you know, just, you know, stuff gets blown off docks and stuff there. It's,
and then do you
call
fish
it fishing
in the,
karma.
Do you fish all year? Do you fish in the wintertime?
I fish
like
in the
dead of winter?
Dead of winter, yeah. You got to be hardcore, man. It's miserable. It's cold. It's not a lot of fun.
Hey, I'd rather be on the water than
nothing. It's just like duck hunting. Nothing wears you out more than being cold.
Yeah,
whether you're working outside as a construction worker or fishing or hunting, just that body being tensed up all day.
Right.
You know, it's exhausting. And you got to be careful, man. You fall in that water, you don't have long to get out.
Right. Have you ever caught a big fish in the winter, like wintertime?
Yes.
It's absolutely. I've always heard that in the wintertime, that if you catch anything, it's probably going to be a big fish.
And if you catch one, stick around because they kind of group up in the winter.
Yeah.
They find the bait and they stay with it, and there's a bunch of them there. I've said a million times, you don't see me holding up pictures of fish very often because I've caught plenty of 4 and 5 pounders. It's not all that impressive.
What's the biggest bass you've ever caught?
Biggest bass I ever caught was 7.8. I've had way bigger than that on when I went down to Texas, but I was a little excited and didn't get them in the boat. but you won't find me with a... If I'm taking a picture of a fish 9 times out of 10, I've got a sock cap on my head. It's cold and gloves on.
Yeah.
It's cold, whether it's early spring, late fall, or wintertime.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. I mean... If you want to catch the big ones, I'm not saying you can't catch big ones in the summertime because you obviously can, but...
It's easier to do it in the winter.
Yeah, and there's less people, there's less competition. The fish, that's less people fish,
you had
less
me
pressure.
You had me at less people.
Yeah, less people.
You had me at less people.
And, you know, you talked about Lake of the Ozarks being crowded. You get down there in November and it's not bad at all. It's fishery.
So
it's 94 miles long. Get out of there.
My grandparents, grandpa, grandma, my uncle, and then my other uncle, my aunt, they all were in Lazy Days.
Lazy Days, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so the airport's right there.
Sure.
So it's like a 3 or 4 hour drive down there, or it's like 30 minutes in the airplane. So the wife and I would jump in the plane and buzz down. They'd come up, get us. We'd go back down. And I remember spending a lot of time with Grandpa and you know, like November, December, January, we'd fly. And he'd be like, yeah, only 30 boats today, and then the summertime, he'd count them too. And, you know, he'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, 180 of them or 200 of them or whatever. So it was kind of a deal. And Grandpa was a time man. You know, he would be like, oh yeah, they've only been out for a few hours. The man had it down to such a science. They'd drop me off at the airport. He'd be calling me as we were shutting down to make sure we got back.
Nice.
You know, because he was a warrior. So, and he was a pilot, and dad's a pilot,
well,
too.
Well, it's funny.
So.
I had a guy saying, hey, we're going to fish the Big Bass Bash, and there's this big shootout with the powerboats.
Yeah.
And seen this on Facebook, and he's like, I can't believe they post that shootout the same time as the Big Bass. And I'm like, so people, please be careful. I'm like, if you're going to Lake of the Ozarks and being careful isn't in the forefront of your mind, yeah. you're out of your
at
gourd.
All times.
There is a drunken rich dude in a giant ass boat at any time.
Yeah, right. At
that
any
is
time.
A true. That is
so
a very
if you
true
don't
story.
Have your head on a swivel and know how to operate a boat, don't yeah. go to Lake of the
right.
Ozarks.
And the other thing too is like my uncles down there, both you know, both bass fishermen and crappie, catfish. You know, they'd go after whatever. They would go out early in the morning, and by 6:30, 7 o'clock, they're back.
Right.
Because the lake's getting wild well, and crazy, and they would always hit those secondary coves, you know,
oh,
nothing
you can
on
get
the
away
main
from that at yeah. Lake of the Ozarks.
And you but you only got to get out on the main part of the lake.
You can stay in Tony's Cove and never go anywhere and catch yeah. fish.
It's very lucky. We got very lucky where our place is down there.
You
it
don't have to roll
popular...
the dice very far there to find a good cove. Though.
Every
really,
oh my
you know.
God, every morning I look outside and there are it's sponsored. Guys with jerseys on fishing in that cove.
With
and
brand new Toyota pickups.
Be careful
pickups.
That sponsored guy in a jersey on a Wednesday.
And you know what I'm doing?
He's called a poser.
Yeah.
He's called a poser.
You know, I'm not. Well,
nobody's
I'm
paying him to fish on
I'm
a Wednesday.
I'm never there on Wednesday. Okay.
All right.
So,
all right.
Never there yeah. on
Mr.
Wednesday.
Mr. 97.1 is
keep
firmly
my jersey
on the radio.
Off until it's weigh-in yeah. time so nobody thinks
and
that
you know what I'm doing?
I know anything.
I've got my binoculars on and I'm trying to stare and see what he's got on the
absolutely.
End of that pole and figure
absolutely.
Out what he's fishing with. Yeah, for sure. All right. That's going to about do it. We're almost out of time. Mike, do you have any? You said you stay away from Twitter.
I stay away from Twitter. I have Facebook, but I just
well,
post music
you,
and ramble.
Yeah, we're going to have you back here after the Big Bass Bash and see how you did.
Yeah, well, no, like, right. that happened this weekend. My tournament is my championship. I have three championships in a row. The Web Outdoors is a 3-day coming up at Stockton.
Okay.
Then I go down to the Toyota Owners Tournament at Pickwick in Alabama. Then I come back and fish Lake of the Ozarks for my Anglers in Action Championship. And then the next season starts.
All right. So, well, so we're going to have you back on in a few
hey,
weeks.
Hey, if I win another
see
boat,
how you
man,
did.
That's the goal. That's the goal. I got a lot of tough sticks to beat, but
hey,
I'm going to give her all
I've got a
that'd
dollar bill in my pocket for that boat. I can tell my wife you gave it to me for a dollar.
We'll make you a picture. I'll give you a picture of it for the
well,
dollar.
You know, we're just going to tell her it's a dollar. She don't really okay. listen.
You start
we could
a
probably
fleet.
Work out some gun trades or something.
Oh, yeah, we're down there.
I got four kids, and they all like to shoot. So
there you go.
Shooting, fishing.
Well, Mike Marfell, professional fisherman, thanks for coming in. We'll have you back on in a few weeks and see how we did.
Go see Aaron for the best customer service. His wife hooked my neighbor up, got her all set up for CCW.
Yeah, don't forget, it's Glocktober. You can go to the Southern Armory website, Southern Armory on Facebook, and check out all the details.
Did you see the spooky pumpkin that said Glocktober as part of the on the little the banner? It was funny. My wife posted a picture. Go check the socials. You'll see it.
Nice.
Yep, Southern Armory on Facebook, Southern Armory on Facebook, and SouthernArmory.com to check all that stuff out. We got to go. That's another edition of Second Amendment Radio. See you next week here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 971talk.com.
The Great Lakes. I haven't done it in the ocean.
Oh, okay.
But same thing.
Same thing.
You know,
yeah.
I know a guy that's got a place in Okaloosa Island.
Yeah.
Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, it's you.
And you've got a plane.
Hey. Well, yeah, we got that too.
All right, we got to take a break, but we've got more to go. Don't go anywhere. Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman, is joining us for Second Amendment Radio on 97.1 FM Talk. Back in a second. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio on 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo, Aaron Tarlow, Chad Ellis, joined this week by professional fisherman Mike Marfell.
Hello.
And I love talking fishing. So
just pull my string, Tony.
Keep it going here a little bit. I do have a couple questions, gun-related questions that people have submitted for Aaron that I want to get to here in a minute. But I want to wrap up this discussion about this time of year and fishing in the fall. We mentioned in the last segment that a lot of people that don't fish regularly, especially like you do, Mike, that think that this time of year is that they've missed their chance, that the summertime is over and it's cold outside now. And
couldn't
fishing.
Be further from the truth.
Yeah. And even in even once the fall is over, well, the other point I wanted to make about this time of year also is that, like you're saying, it's all. Not only is it a great time to fish,
But there's also, especially in places like Lake of the Ozarks, Table Rock Lake, places like that, there's a lot less boats on the lake.
A lot less boats.
And that makes... Boats.
That's what him and I were talking about. It's like Table Rock's where it's at.
That makes a big difference.
Table Rock's my favorite lake.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. And I've told you this before, the best time to fish at any lake in the Ozarks is during deer season.
Yeah.
Because all those guys that are really good fishermen are deer hunting. And I don't deer hunt, so I got the lake to myself.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, no, that's such a great point. What is the best time of the day right now? Is it early in the morning?
Still
early.
This right now, the water at Lake of the Ozarks was still 78 degrees, so early is still better.
Yeah.
But as you get, the water starts cooling, it's going to be later in the afternoon.
Right. Gotcha. So,
that's why I'm lazy. That's right. Why I also like fishing this time. I can sleep in and fish later.
Yeah.
I always say I wished our tournaments, and some of them do, we have winter tournaments, they start a little later and go a little later.
I've always had the best luck, and maybe it's just me, and it's just dumb luck, but tell me if there's any truth to this. For me, it's always early in the morning, like early in the morning, just after first light, and then maybe that hour before...
Absolutely.
The sun sets.
Absolutely. In the summertime and in the warm weather, that's absolutely the truth.
Yeah.
Trout's like that. Get it be in the hour and a half, and then spend the day doing whatever.
It's crazy. This year, so far, for me at least, has been one of the best years of the Lake of the Ozarks, and I don't know if it's just because I'm getting better and I'm figuring more things out.
Possible, but that lake is just on fire.
I mean, it was an unbelievable year, and I probably caught more fish this year than I have in who knows how. Maybe it might have been the most fish I ever caught at the Lake of the Ozarks this year. But I guarantee you it was one of the years that I spent the least amount of time fishing. This year was full of, going down to the lake with the family for the weekend and only getting, a couple hours, like, hey, I'm going to run down to the boat, I'm going to fish for a couple hours, not getting a chance to spend the whole day on the water, but still in those 2 hours, 3 hours, having tons of success. It was like that all year long for me.
Yeah.
I
just think if you were doing, you did most of your fishing at Lake of the Ozarks, the lake's just, lake cycle, and that thing is just getting better and better. Maybe at some point it falls off, but...
Right.
Our tournaments, the amount of limits that are weighed in and 20-pound bags are weighed in is just crazy.
Are there any other lakes more locally, like for people that don't want to drive down to the Lake of the Ozarks or drive down to Table Rock Lake that are here in St. Louis? Do you have any spots that you really like? Or
I honestly don't. I mean, I honestly don't because... Yeah. I'm kind of American. My wife always says that nobody ever wants to fish with me because I don't want to stop. so if I've got the time and I'm going to put forth the effort, I'm going to Lake of the Ozarks.
You want to go to a big lake.
I want to go to a big lake because I want to challenge myself. And I have tournaments there, so I want to go fish a part of the lake I've never been in.
Right.
But there's strip mine lakes over in Illinois that are out of Pyramid State Park.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a big boat. You can fish out of a kayak.
Well, there's Carlisle Lake and there's Coffeen.
Carlisle Lake is kind of a gar hole. But I mean... But the Pyramid State Park area, there's, I don't know how many lakes there are, 35, 40 lakes, old strip mines. Some are deep and clear. Some got vegetation. In fact, my friend Gabe Montgomery has the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel, and he just recently went and did a video from, blindly never been there.
Mm-hmm.
And he fishes out of a little John boat with a 9-9 on it so he can get in these little lakes. And he had some great... success over those, and he said he wants to go back because there's so many more lakes to fish.
Right.
So if you don't have a big bass boat, you can fish off from the bank. You can fish out of a kayak, a John boat. You know.
And if you can find, if you seriously, we mentioned earlier those subdivision ponds or farm ponds.
There's one I won't mention over in Edwardsville. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, he took a former Elite Series pro there. And they had to kind of sneak in and use somebody else's. His sister's lives in the subdivision.
Right.
And the Elite Series guy was blown away by the amount of bass they caught in the wintertime on a jerkbait out of
there. I'm lucky enough to know a couple farmers and can put my little John boat on a couple farm ponds. And oh my God.
And just go knock on the door, man. A lot of people, if it's a farm pond, a lot of people would be willing and say, hey, I'm going to catch and release, or else you want them. You need to take some out and, if you come back with a bag full of trash in your pocket, the show you picked up as you walked around there, a lot of times they'll let you come back for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I do that at the lake. I think I told you that. I'll go out of my way to pick up a bottle or something floating or, just, you know, stuff gets blown off docks and stuff there. It's
and right. then do you
call
fish
it fishing
in the,
karma?
Do you fish all year? Do you fish in the wintertime?
I fish
like
the in
the
winter
dead of winter.
Dead of winter. Yeah, yeah. You got to be hardcore, man. It's miserable. It's right. cold. It's not a lot of fun.
Hey, I'd rather be on the water than
and
not.
Nothing. It's just like duck hunting. Nothing wears you out more than being cold.
Yeah,
whether you're working outside as a construction worker or
right.
fishing or hunting, just that body being tensed up all day.
Right.
You know, it's exhausting, and you got to be careful, man. You fall in that water, you don't have long to get out.
Right. Have you ever caught a big fish in the winter, like
yes.
wintertime?
Yes.
It's,
absolutely.
I've always heard that in the wintertime, that if you catch anything, it's probably going to be a big fish.
And if you catch one, stick around because they kind of group up in the winter.
Yeah.
They find the bait and they stay with it, and there's a bunch of them there. I've said a million times, you don't see me holding up pictures of fish very often because I've caught plenty of 4 and 5 pounders. To me, it's not all that impressive.
What's the biggest bass you've ever caught?
Biggest bass ever caught was 7.8. I've had way bigger than that on when I went down to Texas, but I was a little excited and didn't get them in the boat. but you won't find me with a... If I'm taking a picture of a fish, 9 times out of 10, I've got a sock cap on my head. It's cold and gloves
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
It's cold, whether it's early spring, late fall, or wintertime.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. I mean... If you want to catch the big ones, I'm not saying you can't catch big ones in the summertime because you obviously can, but...
It's easier to do it in the winter.
Yeah, and there's less people, there's less competition. The fish, less people fish.
You had me at less people.
Yeah, less people.
You had me at less people.
And, you know, you talked about Lake of the Ozarks being crowded. You get down there in November and it's not bad at all. It's fishing.
So
it's 94 miles long. Get out of there.
My grandparents, grandpa, grandma, my uncle, and then my other uncle, my aunt, they all were in Lazy Days.
Lazy Days, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so the airport's right there.
Sure.
So it's like a 3 or 4 hour drive down there, or it's like 30 minutes in the airplane. So the wife and I would jump in the plane and buzz down. They'd come up, get us. We'd go back down. And I remember spending a lot of time with grandpa in November, December, January, we'd fly. And he'd be like, yeah, only 30 boats today. And then the summertime, he'd count them too. And, he'd be like, oh, yeah, 180 of them or 200 of them or whatever. So it was kind of a deal. And Grandpa was a time man. He would be like, oh, yeah, they've only been out for a few hours. The man had it down to such a science, they'd drop me off at the airport. He'd be calling me as we were shutting down to make sure we got back.
Nice.
Because he was a warrior. So, and he was a pilot, and dad's a pilot,
too.
Well,
it's funny.
So.
I had a guy saying, hey, we're going to fish the big bass bash, and there's this big shootout with the power boats.
Yeah.
And seen this on Facebook, and he's like, I can't believe they post that shootout the same time as the big bass. And I'm like, so people, please be careful. I'm like, if you're going to Lake of the Ozarks and being careful isn't in the forefront of your mind, you're out of your
gourd. At all times.
There is a drunken rich dude in a giant-ass boat at any time.
Yeah, right.
That is a very true story.
So if you don't have your head on a swivel and know how to operate a boat, don't go to Lake of the Ozarks.
And the other thing, too, is like my uncles down there, both bass fishermen and crappie, catfish, they'd go whatever. They would go out early in the morning, and by 6:30, 7 o'clock, they're back. Because the lake's getting wild and crazy. And they would always hit those secondary coves, nothing
you can
on the main.
Get away from that at Lake of the Ozarks.
But you only got to get out on the main part of the lake.
You can stay in Tony's Cove and never go anywhere and catch fish.
It's very lucky. We got very lucky where our place is down there.
You don't have to roll the dice very far there to find a good cove.
Every morning I look outside and there are sponsored guys with jerseys on fishing in that cove.
With brand new Toyota
pickups. Be careful
pickups.
That sponsored guy in a jersey on a Wednesday.
And you know what I'm doing?
He's called a poser.
Yeah.
He's called a poser.
I'm not. Well,
nobody's paying him to fish on a Wednesday.
I'm never there on Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
Never there on
Mr.
Wednesday.
Mr. 97.1 is
firmly on
the radio. I keep
my jersey off until it's weigh-in time so nobody thinks
and
that
you know what I'm doing?
I know anything.
I've got my binoculars on and I'm trying to stare and see what he's got on the end of that pole and figure out what he's fishing with. Yeah, for sure. All right, that's going to about do it. We're almost out of time. Mike, do you have any? You said you stay away from Twitter.
I stay away from Twitter. I have Facebook, but I just post music and ramble.
Yeah, we're going to have you back here after the big bass bash and see how you did.
Yeah, well, no, that happened this weekend. My tournament is my championship. I have 3 championships in a row. The Webb Outdoors, the 3-day coming up at Stockton.
Okay.
Then I go down to the Toyota Owners Tournament at Pickwick in Alabama. Then I come back and fish Lake of the Ozarks for my Anglers in Action Championship. And then the next season starts.
All right. So, well, we're going to have you back on in a few weeks.
Hey, if I win another boat, man, That's the goal. That's the goal. I got a lot of tough sticks to beat, but I'm going to give her all
I've got.
I've
got a dollar bill in my pocket for that boat. I can tell my wife you gave it to me for a dollar.
We'll make you a picture. I'll give you a picture of it for the
dollar. Well, you know, we're just going to tell her it's a dollar. She doesn't really listen.
We could probably work out some gun trades or something. I got four kids, and they all like to shoot. So
there you go.
Shooting, fishing.
Well, Mike Marfell, professional fisherman, thanks for coming in. We'll have you back on in a few weeks and see how we did.
Go see Aaron for the best customer service. His wife hooked my neighbor up, got her all set up for CCW.
Yeah, don't forget, it's Glocktober. You can go to the Southern Armory website, Southern Armory on Facebook, and check out all the details.
Did you see the spooky pumpkin that said Glocktober as part of the the banner? It was funny. My wife posted a picture. Go check the socials. You'll see it.
Nice. Yep, Southern Armory on Facebook, Southern Armory on Facebook, and SouthernArmory.com to check all that stuff out. We got to go. That's another edition of Second Amendment Radio. See you next week here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.